We're gonna do Jeremiah, okay? And but I have noticed that I have it on the internet already. I just don't have the full thing in there. I've taught Jeremiah three times, I think. First two times it was as a Baptist, and Jeremiah is still fabulous stuff. But I've got it on there again. Jeremiah was no or is no bullfrog, and it's got the Paul flavor, so it's okay. I'm gonna kind of tweak them a little bit, update them a little bit. But there are three study notes and sermons about Jeremiah already. Very historically informational, taken from the, I think it's Haley's or Halley's handbook or something. And a lot of their history is very good. Their modern stuff is just Great Commission all the way, but their history is very good. And if you have trouble reading through Kings and all that stuff, you could do a good job reading through all those Old Testament stories by reading the paragraph or two of Haley's handbook ahead of time. Kind of gives you a pretty good idea. So I've got a bunch of stuff from Jeremiah, the days it was in, all the different prophets, and the message that these different prophets had. Very helpful for Old Testament read-through. And how Jeremiah and Jesus were quite a bit alike is in there. They both weren't married, rejected by their own. I mean, it's quite similar to the whole thing. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet and by everybody, you know. And yet they always said Jeremiah was a failure. And I don't agree with that at all. These modern guys say Jeremiah was the sad weeping prophet because he got no ministry ever started. Jeremiah did exactly what he was supposed to do, tell Israel that they have rejected the words of God and they're ignoring his voice before God's going to put the hammer on them. So, my whole point here is we can learn from Jeremiah because he's telling the same message as far as rejecting the voice of the Lord when these guys reject the King James Bible. Now, so I'm not going to review this stuff at all. It's just there, and I'm satisfied with it. It doesn't go through all the chapters at all. It would take forever to do that. And yes, if they disobeyed Jeremiah, God was going to hammer them. Well, see, we don't have to have that fear. So I don't want to get the wrong impression with Jeremiah that this is the way God's going to deal with it. We do know that after God's done with the Gentiles, Romans chapter 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that, yeah, the world's going to get hammered. So there is that application. Tribulation is coming. But any kind of a reference to somebody who had God and forsook God in Jeremiah and God hammers them, we don't have to deal with that. That's the grace that we have through this dispensation of grace with Paul. And people don't want to accept that. They want to go back to Jeremiah. They want to do the Great Commission. They want to do all this stuff that God did to people. And they reject what Christ did on the cross, even though they say they don't. So what I want to do, it'll take a couple weeks to do it, a couple sermons or whatever. But I want to go through Jeremiah and I want to point out the verses that really say it no better than Jeremiah would say it. And that's about telling people what it's like telling people that they're rejecting the voice of the Lord. Now, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 places in Jeremiah where Jeremiah says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying." Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So that's what Jeremiah had. He had the word of the Lord coming to him. Well, what do we know? We have the word of the Lord in our hands. But we actually have to read it to get it to do anything. So we've got to deal with that. But yet, reading through Jeremiah, when we experience the things that we experience, boy, I can't find a better way to put it than the way God has Jeremiah saying it when we go over these verses. So, the website has the stuff out there, and I'll tweak them and make them more available so you don't have to dig deep to find them and all that sort of a thing. So, we will get that going here. Those references, type in came unto me in the book of Jeremiah, and you see all the different places God said unto Jeremiah. Well, God says the same things to us other than the punishment afterwards, other than the threat, and other than the fear. We don't have to worry about that. but the lost people do. We've got the tribulation coming up. So, yeah, there is a problem, but not for us. But again, my purpose of this is to guide people back. You know, Paul says we need to go back to these old guys and we can learn from them. Go back to, we can be admonished from them. We can learn a lot from these guys. So we're going to go back to Jeremiah. So here we go. These are things that are I'm not going to say applicable today because the Old Testament is not applicable. But we can sure learn from what God was telling those guys that he was going to hammer them if they didn't pay attention to his voice. And Jeremiah's last prophet to tell people, listen, you guys are rejecting his voice and it's going to hurt you. And that's exactly what our message is today. Yes, Paul is our message. Paul is the man we're supposed to tell people about. But you know, bottom line is if people don't believe the King James Bible, they can care less about Paul. And I don't want to get distracted away from the issue of the Word of God, the King James Bible. We shouldn't have to make such a fuss about Paul, really. You just read your Bible from beginning to end and you see the dispensational direction. You get into the Gospels, you should recognize the fact that that's not to the Gentiles. I mean, it says right in there, goes right to Acts, goes right to the Great Commission, goes right to Paul, it goes right to the Tribulation. It shouldn't take an Einstein to figure this thing out. So we make a big thing of it because it's so taught against. People are actually against it. And so we say the things that we say here. Chapter 1. Here we go. We're looking at Jeremiah. Not in an Old Testament God's judgment manner, although the tribulation will be the judgment to worry about, but not for us. Let's just see what Jeremiah says about these people and to these people, what God says to Jeremiah about the fact that he's the last guy telling people, listen, you guys are rejecting the Word of God, the voice of God. That is our message, that these Christians are rejecting the voice of the Lord, the King James Bible. I don't care on Facebook, on the news, in the Senate, which is just trashed as far as the government goes. People quote Bible verses still all over the place, and none of them are King James Bible. So God is not going to honor those verses. They're wrongly divided, but the biggest thing is they're just not King James, and they're weak, and they're empty, and they're just religious tripe is what they are. And it's really sad. If we could put this King James Bible back in its place in this country, there'd be some stuff in that thing, rightly divided, of course. Here we go. So we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 1. Here we go. Look at verse 6. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. So how many times do we not want to say something today to somebody because we don't think we're ready? So anyway. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now there it is. You could be that King James Great Commission Baptist guy that says God will send you to a certain place. God will call you to a certain place. We are called to follow Paul. You do a study on called, rightly divided, and you're not going to get called to some foreign land. That doesn't take place. He's going to send you. These are these prophets that he had to send. We're supposed to go everywhere we go, wherever we are, and present the truth, which is Paul. That's our calling. And to walk a walk that pleases God. That's our calling. There's no more prophets. There's no more people being sent out to certain places. I mean, how many times have you known of a missionary, a pastor that was called to someplace else and it fizzled? Did God call me to Ohio? It sure died over there. It was murdered. It was killed. Did he know that was going to take place? Why would he call me there? So, I know so many people. I didn't say that. Never did say God called me to Ohio. I just thought it'd be good if we could start a church from scratch for Paul. I found out that you can not only bring Paul into a church without destroying the church. You can't even start a church nowadays with Paul's teachings. People are so caught up in this other stuff. I'm hoping something gets started here in Kadoka. But I'll let God, the truth will be there, and I'll talk to people as I can, and we'll see if anybody takes an interest. So, anyway, there's just things you got to watch for. But God does say to Jeremiah, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, I'm going to preach way too long in these verses here. He tells us what to do, rightly divide and tell people. He's telling us that in the Scriptures. He commands us what to say. I like this. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, those of us and you out there that are trying to make a stand and trying to do right best you can, don't be afraid of their faces. Isn't that good? There's one of those verses that we need to remember from Jeremiah. Don't be afraid of how they look at you. Don't be afraid of their anger. Don't be afraid of their disappointment. Don't be afraid of their frustration. Don't be afraid of them. Fear of man there's that snare comes in there. See, when we fear these people, so let's not fear their faces. It's hard. If it's a parent, if it's a wife or a husband, let's not fear how they look on their face when you talk to them. You ever said to anybody, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to wear this. I'm not going to go up there. Look at their faces. Don't be afraid of their face when you tell them that. God says, he'll deliver thee. In Jeremiah, kingdom of heaven, earthly kingdom. God did deliver Jeremiah from all these different places. But he still got sent down to the dungeons. He still had people hurt him. He still had all those physical ailments as such. God delivered him. God's going to deliver us. Life is but a vapor. We're living in this vapor, and this vapor is getting really dirty and cloudy. America's just falling apart, which we understand why. So God will deliver us. When it's over, we're going to wish we had stayed where we should have and said we should have. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. There it is again, King James Bible. Those are the words God would have us speak. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root. Now, I call the six-step recovery plan for Christians. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, then you can build and plant. And what we have in Christianity, we've got Christians that like they do their Christianity like this guy fixed this house up. This house is sad because these guys remodeled the house, but they did it over all the other junk that's under there. So the old carpet's under the new carpet. The walls are bulging because they got the old paneling underneath the paneling. The house is tipped. One lamp goes this way. One lamp goes this way. The house is bending and breaking. You know, they should have torn down the stuff, and then you build. Then you plant. So if we could do that, you know, let's get rid of the stuff. Root out. Root out means you got to search and find what's wrong. Movies. Here we go again. Movies. Wasted time. Not redeeming the time. The modesty thing. The loud thing. Men just being wishy-washy or being the dictator, one or the other. You know, the big firm thing, I'm the owner of this house, I paid for this roof, you do it my way kind of stuff. You know, that's not the Paul's manner of life. So you find those things, you root them out, you pull them down, you deal with it, and you destroy. And when you destroy something, everything, you know, you get so, you just want you pull it down, you root it up, pull it down, throw it down, destroy it, then you stomp on it, like he says, throw down, get it on the ground, you know, and then it's time to build and plant. So it's hard. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get rid of the stuff. Here's a comment here. I was thinking of this earlier tonight. People homeschool. Why do they homeschool? More and more people want to homeschool because they don't want their kids to go to public school, but they will not do what they're supposed to do within the home to give them that education. So they're willing to do something different. But they won't get rid of that junk. They're just as bad at home, if not worse, than they are at school. So if you're going to homeschool them. And men that are out there, your husbands, you got to realize that it takes your wife a lot of preparation, a lot of time. I know too many homeschoolers that don't take the preparation, they don't take the plan. They're happy the kids can get the normal amount of work done by 10 o'clock so they can go play and do chores and go to town and all this kind of junk. So no, we don't want to get rid of the old ways. We just want them out of that school, but then to plant and to build and to plant. They don't want to do that. They just do it on top of the old junk. Just a waste. Okay, so we got verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. There's that phrase again. For us, moreover, we read in our Bible, God said to me in that Bible, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. You know, the father that tells the kid, listen, go out, what do you see in that tree over there, son? Well, I see a willow stick. I see a rod of an almond tree. Okay, pull that branch down. You know what's going to happen, son? I know what's going to happen, Dad. You're going to whip the tire out of me. This is what God is saying. So we don't have to worry about that. Us. But the world does. We got that tribulation coming. And we see here, 12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So God's ready to do judgment on these guys. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. These guys are going to get wailed on. And it's coming. So go out there and tell them. Let's go down to verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me. See, if we quit and forsake God, well, maybe you weren't saved in the first place, and you got the tribulation coming. But that's the goodness of God that Paul teaches. That's the difference between Old Testament and Paul's teachings. That's the difference between the Great Commission and Paul's teachings. That's the difference between Hebrews to Jude and Paul's teachings, which includes Peter, by the way. So, yeah, we have to be careful going through Jeremiah that we don't apply something that isn't true today. But they do have the tribulation coming. So, yes, God's judgment on this world is coming. Okay, I like 17. Here we go. Thou therefore, let's go back to 16. I'm sorry, go back to 16. Have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods. Worship the works of their own hands. You go into Acts 26 and 18, 19, 20, Paul says that very thing to get us the way to turn away from idols to the living God. It's the same situation. It's the same situation. Ours is a spiritual battle, theirs was a physical battle. I like 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. There it is again. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Now, look at that last little part, see? Lest I confound thee before them. Do we have to worry about that? Is God going to confound us? Let's say here, therefore, gird up thy loins. Okay, so you're not strong enough. You haven't studied. You haven't read. You're not ready for this battle you have coming up. And arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Okay, you go out there and you tell somebody about modesty. You go out there and tell them, I'm not going up there. In a nice way, I'm not going to go over there. I'm not going to go into the water. I'm not going to do these things. And yet, you chicken out. And we don't do that. We were dismayed at their faces. We gave in to their pressure. We gave in to their peer pressure. We gave in to the peer group. We gave in to the parents. We gave in to the wife. We gave in to the husband. You gave in to the boss if it's the right kind of a thing, you know. And if we give in to that and we're dismayed at their faces, is God going to confound us? No, because there's no chastisement from God. But what's going to happen to us? We're still going to flail, we're going to give up, faint, because we're not in the book to be strong. So we can still end up confounded. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We know we don't want to do this, but we know we have to do it because I was dismayed at their face, and now I'm all mixed up, I don't know what to do. And people have quit following Paul's teachings because they never followed through with their studies. I'm talking of experience here, people I know, and they said some stuff at first, but the faces of the people they said it to didn't agree, and they wimped out and they chickened out, and now today they're confounded. They don't understand it again. All they got to do is open up the King James Bible and write and divide that thing, it'll come back to them. God has not confounded them, they've allowed themselves to be confounded. Does that make sense out there? Are you hearing all this stuff out there? There we go. So again, things that happened in Jeremiah's book, God caused upon his people. God's not going to cause those things upon us, but some of that stuff can come upon us because we get out of our book. We quit hearing the voice of God. And if anything comes out of this sermon tonight, I hope I can remind people and they want to say, you know, I'm getting tired of this. I'm going to have to say, you know what? You're being dismayed at their face. They're getting through to you, aren't they? And I think it's happening like almost everybody anymore. I hope you guys are standing strong out there. Don't be dismayed at their face. If you do, you'll get mixed up. You'll get confounded. You won't know what's going on after a while. Okay, so much for that mini sermon. Let's go here to chapter 2. What have we got in chapter 2? Here we go. Verse 6. Now, like I said, anybody late here, we're not going to go through this verse at a time at all. I've got some studies on, I'll have them up there for you. Read about the history of Jeremiah and the time he was in, all the prophets and everything. It's there. We're just looking for things that Jeremiah was told and said to people who are rejecting God's words, which is the very ministry we have today. Here we go. Let's look at verse 7. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Now, do you see what's in that verse? We're looking at it today. We are in a plentiful country, not because of America, because we have what the Gentiles have. We've got God's goodness. He even uses the word there, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. We are receiving God's goodness in this country because we have the freedom to do so. And we understand King James Bible, and the preachers used to preach this stuff. But, he says, when ye entered, In other words, when we got into this goodness of God and this Paul stuff, you defiled my land. Now, we can't defile the earthly kingdom because it's still cursed, it's still defiled. But we still, and I hope I can make this clear, we are still defiling what Christ has done when we don't teach them what Christ has done through Paul. So we're defiling the truth. If we don't tell our kids and grandkids and our neighbors and people what Paul has done what through the risen Savior, what he's taught to us. Does that make sense? Okay, now look at the last phrase, and made mine heritage an abomination. Here's something that just stirs my blood. We know that children are an heritage to the Lord. Now, I'm not sure if this is what Paul or Jeremiah and God are referring to, but he says, made mine heritage an abomination. You know what's happening to our children and our teens and our young people and our older daughters and sons? They're not buying into this stuff. They don't want it. Because we taught them the folly of modern Christianity, and they didn't see God answer prayer. They didn't see God do this. They didn't even see God chastise anybody. Well, God wasn't going to. They know that wasn't God because you went bankrupt because you bought too much stuff. God's not punishing you. Young people figure that out. So, that's quite a verse. Did that little expose make sense? For I brought you into a plentiful country, so we are. He didn't bring us. We chose and we went in, so we're in this plentiful Gentile nation kingdom now, the goodness of God, kingdom of God, to eat the fruit thereof, we can, and the goodness thereof, we can receive that. But when ye entered, we jumped in there, then we did the stuff we did, we defiled the truth, and our kids aren't interested. Grandkids aren't interested. Look at what they're watching. Look at what they're not able to read. Look at their schooling. Look at the way they're being taught to dress within the home. These children, and I'm teaching in public school, those kids are going to grow up and be an abomination. They're going to hate God. But we have our own children. This is what's happening. That's a hard. See how we're trying to do this thing in Jeremiah? Does that all make sense? I hope so. Verse 8, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. Well, now we don't have to deal with the law. But we have a book. We've got a rightly divided King James Bible. And the people out there that don't rightly divide a King James Bible, I guess these other Bibles, etc., etc., do they know God? Not according to Paul's teachings. They don't know God. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. And walked after things that do not profit. Now, if you understand what's going on in the churches and in the pulpits of America and the Bible study programs and the whole thing that's going on here, that verse ought to make tremendous sense to you. Pastors transgressed against me. They're teaching against God, the rightly divided truth of God. The prophets prophesied by Baal. These guys are preaching, they're ministers of righteousness, that's the devil. They're preaching a message of the devil, of righteousness. And people are walking after things that do not profit. There's no profit in it. Now, remember, Paul talks about the fact that people will see our profiting. They will see us grow in Christ. They will see us grow in judgment. We're going to feel the pinch. We're going to have those faces that are going to try to dismay us. And yet, we are growing. We are profiting. So, these people that follow after Baal and these pastors, God says, you're walking after things that do not profit, but to them it profits. Big church, a lot of numbers, music's great, everybody's loving God again, and they're not. Am I making this way too complicated here by trying to see the way Paul says it, the way Jeremiah says it with what we're doing? It's very deceiving what we are doing without knowing it. And Jeremiah really exposes, if we look at it slowly and let these verses kind of bing on us, what we got here, 6. Okay, we got a little while, yep. So then, circle these verses and look at them and think about them. I think Jeremiah's always been a powerful preacher. Verse 9. I want to do verse 9. No, I don't want to do 9. We'll go to here to 11. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Now, do you want to talk about America as a nation? No. Let's look at Gentiles. That's the nation that we're concerned about. And God says in Romans chapter 11, listen, if you guys quit messing with, if you start rejecting my goodness, I'm going to finally cut you off. And American Christians, the Christianity Christians, are going to other gods. Money, music, flesh. They're being prepared for the tribulation. We know that kind of a thing. Worship, nothing but flesh. They're changing their gods. And they're not even God, like he says. And has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Isn't that good? That is so rich. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. What's our prophet concerned about? Our prophet is the judgment seat of Christ. Our prophet is to see somebody else learn what we're trying to get here. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid to be very desolate, saith the Lord. Well, that'll happen, tribulation, but not for us. For my now, this is another rich verse here. Rich. I never used that verse before, have I? This is rich. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Water is the word of God. The fountain of the living waters. That's Christ himself. So they're forsaken, the King James Bible. That's where all the water's at. That's where all the Spirit's at. That's where all the words are at. That's where Christ is at, the risen Savior. And hewed them up. They made their own little cisterns, and they're broken, and they can't hold any water. There's that phrase. Can it hold water? Does your belief hold water? Can my King James Bible teaching and rightly dividing hold water? You bet it can. It can prove itself over and over and over. Can your NIV and wrongly dividing and all this Great Commission stuff, can it hold water? Can't hold water at all. There's nothing behind that stuff at all. So those are the two evils. Not only do they forsake and reject the King James Bible, they start digging into this other stuff, and there's nothing there. They can't hold any water. Look, I got 13. Why I did 13 already? Let's look at verse 27. Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. How do you do that? Well, you turn your back on them, but you're still looking at them like you're there. There's something cold about that, you know? And he says here, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So they turn their back on God's words, God's teachings, and King James Bible rightly divided. They turn their back on that stuff. But not their face. They'll still play the game. Church face. You know what this is? This is. I just thought of it. This is so good. This is the church face right here in Jeremiah. Your back is turned against God, but your face makes it look like you're a Christian and you're going to church. You know, put on the church face, quit fighting. We're in church now. All that kind of stuff. I'm going to say this, but hope nobody gets offended by it. I know a guy who he was always preaching about everybody's church face, only to find out later he was the king of church faces and still is. So you turn your back on Paul, you turn your back on the Word of God because you don't do the stuff Paul tells you to do. I'm starting to sound grumpy, aren't I? Yeah. We turn our back on God, but we keep our face, our church face. That is really good. Church face right there. I love to do this stuff. I really do. And you guys, just like Paul says, put up with my folly, you know. Because I get so much of this stuff when I preach to myself. Here we go. Church face. I like that. You like that? Amen. We got amen out there. Let's see. Here's where you show people the church face. Yeah, this is really good. Anyway, relax, calm down. I know. Verse 28. Now this reminds me of the tsunami, all these floods and stuff in Hindu country, and they've got these temples and they're just washing them away. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Okay, so if you've got another god, where are they at? Unfortunately, Satan's going to come in with miracles and signs and wonders. He's going to have these people thinking that's from God. That's where the stupid Christian, who's not reading their King James Bible rightly divided, are falling for this baloney. Satan's going to make those gods look like they're doing their job. Obama, free health care. What? I already read today where they already in menus putting a $2 surcharge for health insurance. We're gonna get taxed and we're gonna get clobbered over this stuff. And so many people think that this is all great stuff. They think that the mark is gonna be a marvelous thing. They think all this stuff is, you know. Well, when it gets right down to it, they're going to find out who it is. Just like Chick draws the mask. They're going to get there and he's going to peel off his mask. And he wasn't a black president at all. He was the devil. That's how people are going to look at this whole thing. Probably shouldn't have said that online, but oh well. Probably already got the jets flying over the house looking for me. Look at verse 30. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. You tell your children that that King James Bible is not the Word of God. Either you say it or you don't live it. You tell them that the Paul thing is a joke or you don't live what Paul teaches. Kids pick up on that stuff. And we need to teach our children what Paul, the risen Savior, says. Christ, the risen Savior, says. And there needs to be correction in there. What's the Bible? For doctrine? For reproof? For instruction in righteousness? But there's one more. For correction. So we don't use this Bible to correct our children. They receive no correction. So our own sword, right here, destroys our children. Destroys the pastors. The prophecy says there, like a destroying lion. It's here to correct us, and we don't do it. So we're using this sword to hurt them. Now, I wish I could remember this stuff. I wish you could remember this stuff when we're done. And think about it when you go to talk to people and you talk to your family. And I just wish they could see how serious of what it is we're doing to our children. But they just think that you're going to try it and you're going to be just, why don't you try it? Well, you just made it their faces, aren't you? That's how we are. And then we get down to probably my favoriteest verse so many times here, verse 33. Oh, I guess I think 32 is a good one. Look at this. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? How could you forget such a thing? And don't go there with the ornament stuff. You know, don't overdo that ornament stuff. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Can you imagine God saying that? His own people that he's done all that he's done for, and he has to say, they have forgotten me without number. There's so many have forgotten me. Do you get lonesome? Do you feel like people have forgotten you? Sure we do. Can you imagine God did what he did, and he has to say, people have forgotten me? Here we go, verse 33. Here's what you see, we see. I've been yakking this verse for years, even before I knew the Paul thing. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? That's why do you back off? Because you want to be loved. You want a friend. You want your pastor to like you. You want to go to church, have a good time. You want social, you want fellowship. You want your family to like you. You want your parents to like you. Well, of course we do. I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want you to always remember me and hug me when I see you. Oh, how are you? Hug, hug, hug. No way, don't go there. But why do we back off what we know to be true? And using wisdom, of course, not just going out there mouthing off Paul stuff. With wisdom, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why do you go back on modesty? Why do you get louder? Why do you go to places you weren't going to for a while? Why do we read what we read? Why are we doing what we're doing today that we weren't doing a year ago? And we're all guilty, probably. I can say that because there's not many on there. Have we trimmed our way to seek love? I could tell you person after person, not in a judgmental manner by me, but just it's just obvious. Get on Facebook. You know what that is? That is a bunch of people that are trimming their way to get love, to get friends. Facebook, it's the goal to get all these friends. Well, listen, I've got people, my own family, my own kids, are on Facebook, and they're talking with people that they didn't talk to years ago. They're talking to people I still won't talk to because of the doctrinal issues, and all my kids are. They're trimming their ways so they can have friends. That Facebook is Jeremiah 2:33, I'll tell you, to the max. Okay. Let's go to chapter. We got time real quickly here. Let's go to chapter 3. Jeremiah is a tough guy, isn't he, really? And if you apply it properly to us today, you know, we're worried about Paul coming back. What if Jeremiah came back? Wow. He'd have to get used to the different kingdom of God, but we're still about walking to please God, aren't we? So Jeremiah's got some things to tell us. We just don't have to worry about God thumping on us and chastising us and hammering us down when we don't do those stuff. But we do lose the rewards of the judgment seat. We do shame God's testimony, and we might get killed, not because God killed us, but we might just get killed. We might blow our testimony and lose people we care about. I mean, there's a lot to lose still today. Chapter 3. What do we got for chapter 3? Verse 12 I've got down here. Not that there's nothing bad, nothing any good up to verse 12, but just picking out some highlights here. Let's go to verse 12 here. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Well, see, now we don't have to worry about that. He will not cause his anger to fall upon us. I bet you Jeremiah would come back, he'd say to us, do you guys know what you have? Do you know what you have today? Oh, if I could have had that, he said. And he didn't. God didn't keep his anger forever. He just took it out on his only begotten son, and then he forgot it. It's not there. We don't have God's anger. But the world does, but not now. He's not even judging the world. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. That'll come eventually. He's got patience and long-suffering. And the goodness of God is to hold back that anger and let people, by the goodness of God, put their trust and faith in Him. Okay, let's keep going here. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Here's this green thing already pops up. And ye have not obeyed my voice. That's just what it is. Look at verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay, so what kind of pastors in Ephesians chapter 4 is God going to provide? A pastor that preaches Paul, rightly divided King James Bible. Now, we also got to remember, this Bible is inspired by God. They didn't have pastors in Jeremiah's day, right? So God was able to take a today word, pastors, and get it into this Bible. They didn't have pastors back in those days. Ah, that's an inspired King James Bible there. That's the word God wanted us to have. Okay. What do we got here? 12, 13, 14, 15, okay, 20. Down to 20. Verse 20. This is quite a thing here. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel. That's quite a comparison. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Is that not what has happened today? We have forgotten His way. We've perverted His way. What's His way? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. I know that. But there's a more excellent way, and that's the risen Christ through Paul's teachings, King James Bible, rightly divided. He's still the way, but it's the way of the risen Savior, not the way of the gospel Savior. And they perverted that today. And as a result, they've forgotten the Lord their God. He's an unknown God to people today. 22, return you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Sure you will. Get back into your Bible, and you won't be dismayed by their faces. Get back into the Bible, and you'll know how much grace you had to stand. Get back to the Bible and read that thing and get some courage and some strength so you won't be dismayed by their faces. How are we doing? We're doing okay. We can finish this chapter here. 20, 21, 22. I got 25. 25, there it is again. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, here it is, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. That's what we're today, very same thing, we're not obeying the voice of the Lord our God. 10:2, we can still do it. I got a short one in chapter 4. I think we still can anyway. Yep, here we go, chapter 4. Verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Now, there's your Great Commission stuff. A Great Commission can take those two verses and say, until you get right, you're in trouble, and when you get right, God will bless you. Let's make this nation start doing right. Let's go against the abortion thing. Let's go against the commandment. Let's fight against the commandments. Let's make America a righteous nation again, and God will bless us. No, he won't. We're following the ministers of righteousness. We know that we know that people are figuring out what's wrong. We hear this all the time. I say this all the time. You can buy books and videos and get on YouTube, and you can find there's people that know what's going wrong here in America. They know what's going wrong. But the last couple of chapters of their books, they teach them the Great Commission gospel, and that's a lie. They're teaching lies, and I got a word. I'll save it for Sunday. It's just a word I learned in the King James Bible that really is what we're doing today, and it's pretty interesting. We'll get to that for Sunday. So that's Great Commission stuff there. Verse 3 is good, though. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. That's that hard ground. Break it up. A farmer goes out there and breaks up that fallow ground, takes the disc out there and loosens all that stuff up, because if he planted his seed amongst all the weeds and the hardness of the dirt, he wouldn't get much of a crop, if any crop. So we got to plow up what we've got wrong. And that takes us back to Jeremiah 1:10, where he says to root out, tear down. I never do these in order. Destroy, throw down, plant, and build and plant. We've got to dig up that fallow ground. It's getting hard. We're getting hard. And we're out there talking to those people that are hard. I tell you, people don't want to hear anything about a Bible. I don't think I've ever lived anywhere where the people are as good as they are, but are just 100% religious. Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, the whole spiel. Catholic and the whole thing, all these parts out here. I'm really anxious to get an ad someday for the truth, for the Bible. Yet in the Kadoka paper, they've got about a 4 or 5, 6 inch square, probably bigger than that, that's put on there by the Berean Society that talks about Paul. It's really a good square, I have to admit. You can do a nice job of squaring in there. And yet the people that pay for that advertisement, it's the local bank, I know he's Catholic, the grocery store. So I'm anxious to find a way to talk to people about, hey, do you see that article in the paper? Do you support that? That's really good. Well, you got your name? No, I don't. Well, you got your name to that thing. It's a religious section. You got the churches listed underneath. Then all the stuff about Paul on the top. It's really pretty cool. Pretty groovy, as I taught the kids today. Oh, okay. Bunny Trail, we'd be done here pretty quick. Bunny Trail, I have an old record player in my music room, and some of the fourth graders came in there today, and they said, oh, is that a record player? Can you play it? Can you show that to us? I said, haven't you ever seen a record before? And these kids said, no. I aged about 50 years just then. They were fascinated with this record player. 78 speed, too. They thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Anyway, back to the subject here. I thought you'd like that one. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Oh, we did that 3. Verse 4, we got for crow. Okay, we can do this one here. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Circumcision hurts big time from what I understand. I'm glad I was a baby. So it must really hurt to have the foreskins of your heart circumcised. See, when we want to do something right, we want to get our heart into this thing, it's going to hurt. Being a Paul-following, risen Christ, Savior-following Christian, with our heart, you got to peel away that sensitive stuff, and it's going to hurt. We don't want to be hurt. Okay, look at verse 5. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet, blow. That's from the Arise My Soul song there. We'll finish this up. Let's go down here to verse 19 and 20. Go down to verse 19. This, by the way, this is God, says up in the top, exhorting Judah to repent. This is God preaching here. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. See, it hurts to care for people. It hurts. If your heart's into somebody's life or people or whatever, it hurts to have your heart involved. If somebody says, is your heart broken? You can say, no, it's been circumcised. That'll stop the conversation, I imagine. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. And they know something's coming. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Boy, Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 16. Simple, that which is evil. We're supposed to be the way we should be. And I tell you, we know more about what's wrong with movies. We know more about what's wrong with all the other religions and all the other teachings. We know what's wrong with everything that's out there, but what do we know that's right? You can get into a catalog, get on the internet, you can find what's wrong with everything that's out there, but can you find something to buy that's right? Can you find something to read that's right? Are you wise to what's right? And he said, his people, they're wise to do evil. They don't even know how to do good. When somebody gets a hold of the risen Savior, they need to look at Paul. Paul will tell us how to do good. We'll have knowledge of doing good. And people don't have that knowledge, say, because they're not reading Paul. I had one of my kids today say to me, how does this go? It was about, I caught her. She's a fourth grader. She was in her classroom doing the makeup thing and the little mirror and all the little powdery junk and all that stuff. And I stopped. I just looked at her like, that's dumb. You're in fourth grade. Why are you doing that? Kind of a look. And so I went back to my class, and she comes into the music class with all the other kids, and she says, I was doing that because that's what ladies do. The makeup thing and all that. I teased her about, hey, do you have a boyfriend or something? Why are you prettying up your face? Who are you trying to impress here? So that kind of tweaked her a little bit. Then she said, but this is what ladies do. And I really bit my lip tremendously. You got to know me. I really bit my lip a lot. And I said, you know, you have no idea what ladies used to do to be a lady. And they don't do those things today. And the one girl said, well, what are some of the things they don't do? And another girl said, wear dresses. Case closed. They know some of this stuff still. I had one of my seventh graders, tell me that she hopes she gets to sing this solo in the contest because she bought a dress. And she said, I've never worn a dress before, and I bought a dress for this contest. I can't imagine this dress has got maybe more than a half a square yard of material, but hey, at least, you know, it's a concept of a dress. Got onto that thing, too. How did they get onto that one? They don't know how to do right today. They don't know how to do right. They don't know how to do good. This finishes up 19 and 20, 22, and then verse 30. What does verse 30 say? When thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, there it is. There it is. In vain shalt thou make thyself fair. The people that don't like what you're doing, you know, you can do the scene on the outside, but you better be what real on the inside, or the outside just covering it up. And that takes us right back to that, the church face. Get yourself looking pretty. Put on the good clothes and go there and smile and give everybody that stupid, ridiculously improper, unladylike, ungodly hug to everybody. Or a man wants to come up and hug you. You put your hand down and say, you get away, pervert, kind of a thing. Be real. And then I would say, if you're real, dress like you're real. And yes, you dress modestly because you don't want to be seen. Yes, you keep your mouth shut because you don't want to be heard. Yes, you don't go against, you know, all that whole stuff. All the stuff that Paul teaches us. Be real. And dress to be the lady. Dress to be the man. People don't know how to do good. Okay, there you go. That's stuff for tonight. We made it as far as chapter 4. I hope you understand what I'm trying to do here. I've got this stuff on the website. I'll get it up there tonight or tomorrow. But we're going to look at Jeremiah for the next couple sermons. And we're going to use his words that God gave to him to preach to us with the ministry we're supposed to have, and that's the people are rejecting the voice of the Lord. We're not rejecting the voice of the Lord, are we? We better let Jeremiah preach to us. So what's the biggest thing I wanted you to get out of tonight? Don't be dismayed at their faces. Don't let how they look scare you. You got God on your side. And if you at least got one preacher out there on your side to preach, believe to be the truth, And I'll try to keep it going, because there's not many in the pulpit doing it anymore.